In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today marks the mid-Sunday in the Great and Holy Fast. Actually, it's this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, that will be the actual midpoint. And it's been prescribed from the most ancient of times that we bring out the cross, one of three times we do this during the year, on this particular Sunday. Now, there's a number of reasons for this. One is for encouragement, because the Lord knows that we've been struggling through the fast, that we've made it through 3 weeks, and that we've still got essentially a month to go before the entire fast is over. And so it's brought out to show that He who voluntarily ascended the cross for our sake now comes in the midst of us with this instrument of both torture, death, and redemption placed in front of us. I think the other reason is because now the church is saying it's time to get serious about the fast. Okay, we had four warm-up weeks, or four warm-up Sundays, and then we've gone into the fast, and we've learned about the triumph of orthodoxy, and we've learned about hesychasm, stillness, the prayer of Jesus, St. Gregory Palamas. But now the church turns its attention to what is the most serious of topics, that of the passion of our Lord. And so the cross is brought out today to remind us that that is what we are working towards, that great and holy Passion Week, where we will bow down the entire week, culminating with the very dramatic reenactment of our Lord's passion on the cross. So this is telling us this. It's saying, look, if you haven't been doing anything until now, it's not too late. Now you can wake up. Sleepers awake, as St. Paul says. Now is the time to turn to the Lord. Now is the time to turn to the cross, the instrument of our salvation, and understand the seriousness of what it is that we're doing and why we are doing it. We've talked many times here about the society we live in, the Christianity that it really is foundational in this society, but is yet a bit distorted, and which permeates all of society with a sense today of an easy faith of, well, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that's done with it. Let's go have a beer. It's that way, literally. And yet, if you look back in history, you see very, very little indication of this type of faith. It's not there. If you go through the Gospels and you go through them honestly and really see what the Lord has to say, you understand then that it's not an easy faith, that something is required of us, that the Lord seeks genuine change within us and not simply some sort of legal acceptance of something that may be forgotten tomorrow and come back to the next day and then forgotten after that, because human beings are so fickle in that regard. No, today He is very serious in this gospel, and He tells us quite directly, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And of course, when He said, follow me, we know exactly what that meant. Follow Him into death. Follow Him to Golgotha. Follow Him through the sufferings and the spittings and all of the beatings that He took on His way there. That's what follow me meant. And we've talked many times also about what it means to take up your cross. That when He uttered these words, it must have been very disturbing to many people, because they knew what taking up the cross meant, because they saw the crosses with people hanging on them up and down the roads leading in and out of Rome and many other places in the Roman Empire. When you took up your cross, again, you were going to your death. And of course, as if to add insult to injury, He prefaces the whole thing by saying that we are to deny ourselves. So not only are we to take up this cross, follow the Lord, march to our very deaths, But we're supposed to not even enjoy all the wonderful things the world has to offer. Because the Lord is very intent on making us understand that only by denying ourselves will we find true life. He who wishes to find his life must lose it. And he who loses his life for the sake of the gospel will find it. And so it's as if the Lord is saying, let's put all of this in perspective. Everything that was created was good. Everything that the Lord created was good. And he's not saying that we are to completely turn away from all the good things that we find in our lives because they were given to us as gifts. No, not at all. But he's saying to truly enjoy these things, we must put it into perspective. You must see it through the focus that he provides for us. And that focus is through the lens of the cross. It's seeing that we've got to, in order to accept the things and love the things that we have in the world, in order to fully appreciate the gift of life that God gives us, we have to deny ourselves and be willing to follow him to the very end. Because one way or the other, we're not going to get out of meeting his end. It's not going to happen. We can try, but all of us are heading there. And so it's a question of how we want to approach that. How we want to be when we finally get to that point. Do we want to simply enjoy the things of this life and pay no attention to Christ, pay no attention to our faith, pay no attention to God, and then we die and we roll the dice and take our chances that maybe somehow the Lord will see some of himself in us? Well, I guess that's a possibility. We could try that. It's not a very good one, though. How much better to embrace everything the Lord offers us now, even if it is unto death, knowing that by doing that, you waltz into the kingdom of heaven. How much better to do these things? Taking up the cross is a difficult thing. I would never make any pretenses about that. It's very difficult. It means embracing all the difficulties and sufferings in your life. But it also means recreating those sufferings and difficulties in the light of Christ, so that his yoke is easy and that his burden is light. And often we deny this because we say, what yoke is easy and burden is light? You know, I'm snowed under. I'm just getting it from all sides. I've got all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues. How is that so? Well, it's because you're not embracing the cross. That's why. Embracing the cross allows us to have a light burden and an easy yoke. That's the prerequisite. Otherwise, you're just struggling through like anybody else. And that's no fun. That's no fun. There are so many good things in the world to be enjoyed. We all know that. And there are so many horrors in the world. And sometimes they're right around the corner. Life can change that easily. From absolute thrilling, exalting in the very nature of being alive and happy and joyful to the next minute plunging into the depths of despair because of something horrible that may happen. That is what we deal with in a fallen world. That is why it's important for us to grasp the cross. Because if we embrace the Lord and everything he does and everything that he says, then when the bad things happen, it just doesn't matter. It's not as important to us. It's not something that's so horrible and terrible and difficult to bear because we have already inoculated ourselves, if you will, by the vaccine of the cross. We've already taken upon ourselves some of the difficulties of the world and some of the tragedies and the horrible things that happen. And when we bear each other's burdens, we do the same thing. Everyone knows what it is to bear another's burden. If you've ever sorrowed with someone or cried with someone or encouraged someone, you have helped to bear their burden. You have helped them bear their cross. And so by doing that, you become yourself a little bit stronger, a little bit tougher in regards to the things that happen in the world. This all comes from the cross, every bit of it. It's amazing to me that the Lord chose something so basic as the cross in order to be the ultimate salvation of the world. Because when you think of it, you would think, well, all the things that he did, maybe there would be some more complex symbol or something that he would have created to more fully explain what it was he did. But no, it's very simple. It's like this. You have two lines crossing each other. And you can hardly look anywhere in the world where you don't see this in some form or another. Whether it's in a church, whether it's in the right angle of a building, whether it's on a sidewalk, it's everywhere. The cross in our lives as a symbol is as basic as water is to life. It's there. And of course, water is one of the other things that the Lord chooses. But the cross is the foundation of our faith. Without the cross, there can be no resurrection. Absolutely none. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we're coming into the halfway point, and we haven't been as serious about all of this as we need to be, let's renew it today. Let's look at the cross. Let's meditate on He who hung upon it. Let's bow down before it and worship His cross, knowing the strength that we get from it, understanding the things that He has done for us, knowing that without this cross we would have no life whatsoever. He is here to encourage us. He's here to say, come, come, join me in this very, very difficult journey, but ultimately magnificent. Because we know by embracing it, we will go with Him through His resurrection into the kingdom of heaven. And that's the goal of our life here on earth. So by the power of this precious and life-giving cross before us today, may our Heavenly Father bring us all into heaven. Amen.